Welcome to Inside Independent Publishing with IBPA. I'm an independent publisher and your host, Peter Goodman. This podcast comes to you from IBPA, the Independent Book Publishers Association. IBPA's mission is to lead and serve the independent publishing community through advocacy, education, and tools for success. For more about IBPA and how it can help you become a better publisher, whatever kind of publisher you are, go to ibpa-online.org and check out IBPA on Twitter with the handle @IBPA. You can tweet your questions to me at Peter Goodman. Now let's get started. I've been doing these podcasts on indie publishing for about a year now, pretty much always in the interview format where it was me asking a guest about what they do and what they can tell us that would help indie publishers or tell them about aspects of the industry they might not know much about, like logistics, printing in China, cost of paper, repurposing content, that sort of thing. Today, I want to do something different. Today, it's just me, no guest. And I do this because after a year of podcasts and talking to experts, I've reached some conclusions about our industry and our place in it. And I'd like to set the stage for what I hope are the podcasts that will follow that can extend some of the issues I bring up here. And from time to time, I just kind of like to stir the pot, maybe prompt some angry disagreement, or maybe some better ideas and observations. And one big disclaimer, what you hear is me, my views, and I absolutely do not speak on behalf of IBPA. Remember, tweet your displeasure to me on Twitter at Peter Goodman. Okay, the format today is pretty simple. First, I'm going to mention five great things about book publishing today. And then I'm going to mention five horrible things about book publishing today. What? Only five, you ask? Well, who knows? Let's see how we do. Okay, five great things about book publishing and being an indie publisher today. The good stuff. Number one. Obviously, it's about us being able to create books, which are still the greatest and most versatile form of communication in human history, particularly if we expand the idea of what a book is to include ebooks and books online. Now, by books, I mean not short snippets, but long and longer form writings that package expertise, intelligence, and information, or fantasy and imagination, and put it all into an affordable, portable format that endures and can be easily shared. It is an honor to work in the book industry and to help produce things of consequence and of beauty. Number two, there's now room for everyone to become a publisher, thanks to new business models like hybrid publishing, computerization, social media, ebooks, and places like Smashwords. The barriers to entry are effectively gone. You want to be a publisher? Jump in. Do it! That's taken power away from the same old, and put it back in the hands of ordinary folks of every stripe and color. Number three, connections. Writers can now connect directly with their readers, form communities, get feedback, keep all the money instead of getting royalty scraps from big publishers. Books aren't always a gamble either, since with crowdfunding sites like Kickstarter, you can now produce your book without financial risk. Sites like Goodreads create virtual reading groups, and bloggers in specific interest areas generate buzz for titles without the use of expensive ads or schmoozing over cocktails in swanky New York bistros. Publishers and author publishers are closer now to making a one-to-one connection with their readers than ever before. It's all about family now. Number four, new technologies have made it possible for books to be delivered in print from halfway across the globe at the push of a button and without huge fuel costs for shipping. Print-on-demand machines can get data from London and print in Indonesia the same day it's ordered. Quick delivery equals quick satisfaction. And that's good for the environment. It's good for culture. And maybe it's possible that some rogue outpost in countries like China, where access to information is strictly controlled, will be able to capture digital books and circulate them, bring hope and imagination to places where there is little. In cultural terms, the potential for good here is huge. a good weapon against the nattering nabobs of negativism. Number 5, the future belongs to us. Progressive thinkers on all continents are trying to create a fairer and more diverse world. New voices, education for all, using science and ingenuity to cope with and fight against climate change, injustice, poverty. At the basis of all this is information, the kind of information that comes in books, and behind that is the disrupting of cultural norms, something that comes about only through discussion, experiment, and the sharing of ideas. Books are at the forefront of how our humanity is changing. Publishers are not just serving existing needs, but they're creating new paradigms of philosophy and survival. Indie publishers are in the lead here because the corporate publishers, bottom line, must continue to serve their mainstream corporate masters. Okay? That's 5 good things. Now, 5 bad things about publishing and being an indie publisher. And some of these are actually the mirror image of the 5 good things. Bad thing number 1. There are too many books. In 2017, according to Bowker, the total number of self-published titles grew from 786,935 to 1,009,188, surpassing the million mark for the very first time. Now, the ability now for anyone to publish anything means that everyone is publishing everything. It's great to have a voice, but are you really speaking if no one can hear you? If no one can find you? Email makes it possible for publicists and authors to deluge media with review requests, at the same time that newspapers and other media have cut back their book review sections. Celebrity culture and media buzz are pushing out zappy, high-calorie, low-protein, taste-good stories. Now, this has been going on for a long time, and it's not getting any better. Generating interest is probably the greatest challenge facing publishers today, and indie publishers with their low budgets are hard-pressed to compete and are more and more often forced to play in small niches of interest. Number 2. The economics make it almost impossible for the indie publisher to succeed. Paper, freight, printing, labor, etc., etc., all the costs of making a decent book are rising, but consumers still don't want to pay more than $18.95 for a paperback. Now, we've got a distributor, and we've seen a huge increase in chargebacks for freight and other services, plus new co-op charges, which are basically bribes to Amazon and others. Now, Amazon is particularly nefarious, squeezing everybody at every turn and then turning over the buy buttons to third parties who are known to lie about availability and the quality of their inventory. As long as consumers insist on low prices, the big vendors will cater to them and make their suppliers, we publishers, foot the bill. Number 3, our industry is inefficient and harmful to the environment. Paper, ink, fuel costs, returns, shipping one book at a time, all these things impose a serious cost on the environment. Some publishers are demanding greener production methods and less toxic inks and waste, and printers are responding. But fundamentally, the publishing industry still consumes huge amounts of non-renewable resources. With a climate disaster looming, it is irresponsible at best for our industry not to lead. And yet we don't see the big players speaking out or making big changes in how they do business. And they're still relying on actual physical product. Trucks carrying new books and trucks carrying returns pass each other on our highways. It's totally wasteful. Number 4, the old gatekeepers are still in charge. It's still the case that if you're not affiliated with a major distribution group or wholesaler, you have little chance of getting into the retail market, and you have to rely on whatever bad deal Amazon has on offer. And it is mostly just Amazon that provides your only alternative. Every other year, angry indies talk about setting up their own distribution systems, but they never get off the ground because of local costs and inefficiencies. Indie bookshops don't help, partly because the whole system is so inefficient to begin with. And when it comes to review media, it's the same thing. If you're an author publisher, you will still be viewed as illegitimate by lots of media, associations, and contests. Despite years and years of IBA pounding on this particular door, progress is slow, and there is no incentive to change from the top down. Number 5. There's just no new model for selling and delivery. Knowing what we know, why is the idea of the bookstore so completely unevolved from what it was 50 years ago? Sure, Amazon is a game changer, and for the most part, more a good thing than a bad thing for indie publishers. But the local connection for books is still in the hands of the indie booksellers, whose determination to preserve things just as they were is in the end going to choke them out. Those who are hanging on do so not because they are serving the needs of their indie publishers in their community, but because they have figured out how to serve up mainstream titles, used books, coffee and crumpets, and sidelines in a smaller retail space designed to warm the hearts of people in their 60s. A modern bookstore should be modern. Everything should be searchable and online from kiosks in the store itself. And all 6 million or 8 million books currently in print should be available instantly through online dispatch to an in-store printer, thus giving consumers instant gratification and publishers availability without having to have a distributor physically ship the books in and out. This technology already exists, folks, but the retail model doesn't. Okay, bonus. Number 6. The American public is not fully aware of how vital indie publishers are to the national conversation. The indie booksellers get all the attention and sympathy, and their legitimate grievances are well known through good PR playing on sad tales of hollowed out downtowns. All that is true. Meanwhile, as Rodney says, indie publishers get no respect. Most consumers don't know who the publisher is, and most don't care. Wouldn't it be possible for us indies to begin to make the kinds of disruptions needed if we had more public support from the outset, with permission to charge more as a sign of respect for the more obscure but by no means less powerful authors we bring to public attention? Indie publishers need better talking points, a larger public profile, and a better understanding among the public of their plight and their importance. So good for IBPA for working on those goals. Now to sum up, there's a lot of good and a lot of bad about being an indie publisher. But who among us would trade our profession for anything else? We like what we do. But new generations are demanding new ways of reading, new kinds of content, and even new kinds of writing. The standard linear book is not going away anytime soon, but all the virtues it represents, long-form discursive writing and narration, are being supplanted by new narrative structures, collaborations, subscription models, community funding and input into content, and granular access. Foreign rights, so balkanized, are opening up as language boundaries are destroyed. And as the new narrative and content paradigms shift, I fear the American mainstream publishing industry is less taking the lead than being just plain slow to respond. And indie publishers like you and the other people listening to this podcast, you can help change that. Okay, that's where I think things are. And obviously we have a lot of work to do, so let's get busy. Thanks again for listening. Remember to check out IBPA at ibpa-online.org. And as my bosses in Japan used to say, let's have publishing fun.